Panjabi Adi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhadi.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara
Dhadi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhadi.
Gopi Jana Vallabha.
Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja
Jana.
Yamuna Tira Vana Chadi.
Yamuna Tira Vana Chadi.
Radha Madhava Punjabi Adi. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Adi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhadi.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara
Dhadi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhadi.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara
Dhadi. Yashodanandana Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi.
Jamuna
Tira Vana Chadi.
Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi.
Jaya Radha Paramahansa Parivitagacharya Astatakata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Gaur Premanandi. See if your son knows the name that Krishna is addressed, shown in that picture by the kitchen table.
Yeah.
What's his name? The name of Krishna, where he's stealing butter. What's the name? You familiar with the name? Makanchor? Makanchor. Chor means to steal. And makan means butter. The butter thief. So we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 8, where the butter thief pastime is described in detail. I mean, very interesting detail. And because it's the child development, the early childhood of Krishna. In Bala Kanda of Ramayana, there's not a lot describing the pastimes of Ram and his three brothers. So the persons who speak Ram Katha say, if you want to hear childhood pastimes, you have to go to Bhagavatam. Krishna's childhood pastimes are very wonderfully described. So one of the purposes of Krishna, besides being naughty and mischievous, is stirring the love of the elders, the men and the ladies, and the cowherd men, the cowherd women in Vrindavan. But one of the things that Krishna wanted to do in addition to stimulating their love was he wanted the parental affection of being scolded. No, most children don't like to be scolded. But it's part of parental affection. And parents know that, and not always do children know that, but Krishna wanted. But Mother DeSoto wouldn't scold him. She just embraced him and would say things like, "Why do you do these things?" But he wanted her to scold him. So he did something that would cause her to scold him. He ate dirt. You know that pastime? Krishna ate dirt. You want to hear the pastime? Did you know that Krishna ate dirt? Actually, we don't know whether he ate dirt or not, but the cowherd boys said to Mother DeSoto, "He's eating dirt." And mothers don't want their son to eat dirt, so she came to scold him. And Krishna said, "I didn't eat dirt, they're liars." And she said, "Well, you know, they're not enemies, they're your dear friends, and over there is your elder brother Balaram, and he wouldn't tell us a lie." And he said, "If you don't believe me, you can look inside my mouth." So she said, "Open up, open your mouth." And she looked inside Krishna's mouth. You know what she saw? What did she see? Everything. Everything. She saw the whole universe. Because everything is within Krishna. That's what our teaching says. We said, there isn't something that exists separate from its existing within Krishna. Everything exists within Krishna. She saw everything. That's a lot. Mountains, rivers, oceans, planets, living entities, all different species, even subtle things. She saw mind and intelligence and false ego, and she, you know, the whole material creation. She even saw herself looking inside Krishna's mouth, inside Krishna's mouth. Wow. Pretty good. And she went, "Wow. What just happened?" And then she started getting philosophical and saying, "Maybe I'm asleep. But no, I'm wide awake. My eyes are awake." So that she ruled that out. Maybe this is one of the illusory potencies of the demigods, Deva Maya. Then she ruled that out and said, "No, I'm too unimportant for the demigods to show their Deva Maya to me. That's not so likely." And then she said, "Maybe I'm deranged. I'm just mad." She said, "No, I'm pretty stable." So then she concluded the fourth thing was, maybe this is one of those situations that was spoken by Gargamuni. Gargamuni is an astrologer who did the name-giving ceremony for Krishna. And one of the things he said during that name-giving ceremony is, "Your son, Nanda, will be exhibit powers like Narayan." He didn't say he was Narayan. He didn't say he wasn't Narayan. He just said he'll have powers like Narayan. So maybe this is Narayan's powers that have invested in such a way that my son is showing all these amazing things. And then her mood changed, and she started praying to Narayan. "Oh, Supreme Lord Narayan, this and that and the other thing and the other thing. Please protect my child," because her motherly affection started taking over. After seeing this most amazing vision, she started forgetting it all because of her motherly affection. And the acharyas explained, Krishna wanted, okay, she scolded me now. Now I want her motherly affection in a different way. But she was too awestruck. So he covered her with his yoga maya. She forgot what she had seen. And her motherly affection, her vatsalya rasa, or vatsalya prema, started overwhelming her. And then she started saying some other things. There was like a whole series of, she was very confused. And she then started feeling very detached or renounced or spiritually like, this is not my son and Nanda is not my husband and I'm not the queen ruling over all the residents of Vraja. I'm just this insignificant servant of Narayan. And all I know is I must take care of my son. So she just got overwhelmed in motherly affection again. And then Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this, and he concludes his narration saying that the Vedas teach about the Lord in this feature, that feature, the other feature, the other feature, different portions of the Vedas speak this way, that way. But Mother Jasoda, she's beyond all that. She accepts the Supreme Lord as her affectionate son. She's the topmost of all personalities. And he's like in an ecstatic mood when he speaks like this. So he's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit then becomes inspired and says, who are Nanda and Jasoda? What, in their previous lifetimes, what piety and austerities did they undergo to come to this stage where they have such love for Krishna? Unprecedented love for Krishna. And then, a second verse, he says, they have more fortune than even Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to Krishna, but they didn't experience Krishna's childhood pastimes. And Nanda and Jasoda were immersed in the entire pastimes of Krishna during his childhood, which are so wonderful, that just by hearing them, just by remembering them, like we're doing right now, all the darkness of the age of Kali will be gone, which connect with some very important teaching in the beginning part of the Bhagavatam, that after Krishna's departure, shortly after Krishna's departure, Kali Yuga begins. And when Kali Yuga begins and Krishna is absent, it's not nice. But persons who are in this age of Kali can get light as brilliant as the sun from this Bhagavatam. Krishna appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in response to his question, which was, what activities have Drona and Nanda and Yasoda Nanda, excuse me, Yasoda, Nanda and Yasoda undergone in their previous lives to come to the stage of love for Krishna like they have. Shukadeva Goswami starts telling in 4 or 5 verses a little history. And the little history has to do with Drona and Dara. Are you either of you familiar? Drona and Dara? Or Dara? No? Okay. A little background explanation. In the spiritual sky, there's innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and amongst those innumerable Vaikuntha planets is Krishna Loka. In Krishna Loka, Krishna is eternally performing pastimes with his eternal associates. Among those eternal associates are Nanda and Yasoda. And from time to time, when Krishna appears, they appear with him. They descend. So when it's time for Krishna's appearance, especially Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan, which happens only once in the day of Brahma, which is 1,000 yuga cycles, which is a long time, Nanda and Yashoda descend. So the scripture explains that Narayana made a request of Nanda and Yashoda in the spiritual world that they expand themselves to make their appearance, their expansions should make their appearance in the heavenly realm. So Drona was a Vasu, just like Bhishma before was a Vasu. And Uddhava was also a Vasu. So Vasu is a kind of demigod that's not administrative kind. They're kind of like strong in the military skill department, like Grandfather Bhishma was. So Drona was like that. And his wife was Dara. She was an expansion of Mother Yashoda, a partial called Angsa, partial expansion. And when it comes time for Krishna's appearance in this world, Drona and Dara offered prayers to Brahma. There are scriptures describing all this. We ask your blessings. We would like to have a son who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Brahma smiled and said, so be it. Very soon Krishna will appear on earth, so you should appear also, and you can become mother, father. Now the detail that's explained is, Drona, his partial expansion, entered into the body of Nanda. Dara, her partial expansion, entered the body of Yashoda. So when Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, those two, Drona and Dara, were also acting or in the role, experiencing the parental affection towards Krishna in Vrindavan. And then when it came time for Krishna's pastimes to conclude, much as he did with the residents in Dwarka, he sent them back to the spiritual world. The manifest pastimes were concluded. In Braj, he did the same thing. And so Drona and Dara were sent back to their expansion, the forms from which they were expanded in the heavenly realm. But they participated in Krishna's pastimes, at least while they were manifest in this world. So that's what's being discussed. We're going to go right to the reading now. But Sukadeva Goswami speaks about Drona and Dara. And they, Drona and Dara, offered prayers to Brahma and making this request. Here's the text. This is now Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 49. Drona and Dara said to Brahma, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and the Master of all planets will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. And since this is chapter 8, Prabhupada was still writing commentaries. This is his commentary. And then we're going to read some other commentaries of other predecessor acharyas. This statement by Drona clearly indicates that Drona and Dara are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. Whenever there is a necessity of Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear first, and then Krishna appears. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that his birth is not ordinary, from chapter 4, text number 9. Janma karma chame divyam. Then he makes reference to another verse in chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita. Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim svam adishtaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Translation. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Before Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appear as Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yashoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana, siddha living entity, to become the father or mother of Krishna. For Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. Now, the question raised by Prikshit is, can someone, you know, what austerities have they undergone? And the answer is, well, they're expansion, so they didn't undergo austerities. They're eternally mother and father. They didn't do something in order to become mother and father, to have that special love and loving relation. When Drona and Dara were requested to beget children, this is the conversation with Brahma, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, Krishna. Krishna's appearance means Haritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8. The devotees are protected and the miscreants are vanquished. Whenever Krishna comes, he distributes the highest goal of life, devotional service. He appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the same purpose, because unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot be delivered from the miseries of the material world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Bhagavad Gita 8.15, where the living entities struggle for existence. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mamivangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastani indriyani prakritistani karshati. Translation. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Because of conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are struggling to become happy, but unless they take to the bhakti cult, their happiness is not possible. Krishna again clearly says, Ashadadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. Translation. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 3. Paragraph. Foolish persons do not know how risky life is here if one does not follow the instructions of Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, has been started so that by practicing Krishna consciousness, one can avoid the risky life of material existence. There is no question of not accepting Krishna consciousness. It is not optional. It is compulsory. If we do not take to Krishna consciousness, our life is very risky. Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, to learn how to become free from the miserable condition of material existence, Bhagavad Gita as it is the preliminary study. Then, if one understands Bhagavad Gita, one can proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam, and if one advances further, one may study Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy being delivered from miserable conditional life. So now there's three short commentaries. One is written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They make reference to specific words in the verse, and one of the words in the verse is Mahadev. Normally Mahadev is the term used to indicate Lord Shiva. It's used in this connection a little differently. This verse refers to their future lives. So they're in their demigod position, in their future life they'll become situated on earth. Mahadeva means one who has great pastimes. They would be born on earth, Bhuvi, where the Lord would appear. This Vishveshvara means the Lord who maintains full power though appearing within the material universe. According to the statement of Uddhava in Bhagavatam 3:2:15. So Uddhava in third canto. Uddhava, you know who is Uddhava? You're not sure. You know who is Arjuna? So Arjuna was a first cousin. Arjuna's mother, Kunti, and Krishna's father, Vasudeva, were brother and sister. So they were first cousins, and they were dear friends. Vasudeva, in addition to Kunti as a sister, had four brothers. One of those brothers was Devabhaga, and Uddhava was his son. So they're near age, same, contemporary first cousins. And he was, outside of Vrindavan, he's known as the most intimately connected with Krishna of anybody. It was Uddhava, for example, who carried the message from Krishna to the gopis. Remember that? Yeah? And Uddhava's reading the letter to the gopis, and before that he goes to visit Nanda and Yashoda, and Radharani speaks like a mad woman in Mahabhava. You know, tell this bee to get away from me, to talk with the bumblebee, that famous. So it's Uddhava. Krishna sent Uddhava from Mathura because he was always by Krishna's side and very, very confidential. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. That's in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Very celebrated, 12, 13 chapters. Very high, very deep. Very important, Uddhava Gita. So after Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita, he told Uddhava, very soon I'm going to end my pastimes. When I appeared in this world, I came to give my association to my dear devotees. One place I didn't go was Badri. There's Naranarayan and his associates. I'm giving you a service. You go carry my message to them. As I've spoken to you, you convey it to them. It was purposeful to help him maintain his life, so he had some service to do. That was one of the purposes. So on his way to Badri, leaving Dwarka, Vidura, who was on pilgrimage, ran into him in the forest of Vrindavan. Vidura didn't take part in the Kurukshetra battle. He left. He went on pilgrimage, an extended 34-year pilgrimage. And part of his pilgrimage, Uddhava was met by Vidura. And then they had some talks. This is in the beginning of Canto 3. So that's what's references here. Uddhava is speaking about, guess who? About Krishna. Because he dearly loves Krishna. So according to the statement of Uddhava in 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Text 15, Krishna, the master of Narayana and Brahma, appeared along with his Anshas, that's his partial expansions, such as Mahavishnu and Matsya and Kurma, that is, when Krishna appeared, everything was within, all the avatars were within him. He is the source of all avatars. He's the source of everything. At the universe and everything is within Krishna. In other words, Krishna is purna, or full. The verse also speaks of Hari. Hari means he who steals our mind. According to the logic of, there's a nyaya rule that says, seeing the result, one can infer the cause. So Vishwanath says, following that rule, the words parama bhakti must mean this most exalted parental affection of Nanda Yashoda, Vatsalya bhakti, suitable for them. Paragraph. In the future, others, hearing about and glorifying the services we rendered to the cowherd boy, will easily get the heart to obtain liberation. In this way, Drona and Dara performed pure sadhana bhakti, praying for pure prema bhakti. That's what they were asking. They were elevated sadhakas, practitioners, but like you, they were feeling we're not there yet. And so they were praying to Brahma for not just elevated sadhana, but they wanted prema bhakti. And to have Krishna as their son, it had to be prema bhakti. So that's what they're asking for. Their love was unlike the bhakti of Sutapa and Prishni, who performed bhakti mixed with austerity and yoga. Sutapa and Prishni? Familiar? No? Okay. Well, let's go to Canto 10, Chapter 3. Krishna appears in the prison house of Kamsa as the son, the eighth child of Devaki. He appears in this Vasudev forearm form. And Vasudev offers his prayers. Devaki offers her prayers. Krishna replies. In Krishna's reply, he says, you pleased me very much by your pure devotion. I've appeared in previous colors, red, white, and blue, red, white, and yellow. And now I'm appearing in this color of cham, blackish complexion. And in previous lifetime, you were the married couple in Satya Yuga, you were Sutapa and Prishni. You underwent long austerities to have me as your son. I appeared in this very same form and told you, not only I'll appear as your son, but for three lifetimes, I'll appear as your son. Sutapan Prishni. So Sutapan Prishni performed bhakti mixed with austerity and yoga. This was explained previously. The results of their bhakti was also seen. Prishni Garba became their son. And then in the next life, he was Kashyapa and Aditi, and Vamana became their son. But then this, they want not just the Aishwarya opulent feature that's the result of elevated sadhana and austerities. They wanted pure, unmixed with anything, bhakti. That was their prayer, that was their hankering, their aspiration. We're not there yet. We want to. But they're pleading for mercy. That's what the verse is. Text 49. Jiva Goswami makes his commentary this way. Although as portions of Nanda and Yashoda, they were qualified for the sweetness of the Lord. Sweetness is a term used by our acharyas to contrast Braja and Vaikuntha. Braja has this overwhelming degree of sweetness or madhurya. And it's when one sees, like Mother Jasoda saw in Krishna's mouth, the whole universe, that's Aishwarya. She was so amazed. And so that reduced, momentarily at least, it reduced the sweetness, the intense parental affection that she has. Then Krishna wanted the sweetness, please. And so his yogamaya covered her remembrance of the opulence that he just showed her. And she just got absorbed in the motherly affection again. That's their natural position. So that's what's being said here. That Drona and Dara, they had that eligibility. They weren't there yet. They weren't at the prema stage. They were at the sadhana siddha stage. But they're eligible for that sweetness. That's what's being said. Although they were qualified for the sweetness of the Lord, however, by association with sages in heaven, they developed a preference for the Aishwarya, opulence. And express this to Brahma. May we too, being born on earth, develop prema for the Lord with great attractiveness. Harao. Who? Though the Lord of the universe is also engaged in the highest play, Mahadeva. The bhakti we think is the highest. This bhakti of Nanda and Yashoda is the highest, parama. It's just overwhelmed with sweetness, madhurya. This will be realized as parental affection when they become parents. Since it is said in Bhagavad Gita, as according to your surrender, I respond. 4:11, Krishna says, Mami Vangsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So what's going on here? What's being said? Jiva Goswami is making the comment. They were expansions, partial expansions of Nanda and Jasoda, the eternal associates of the Lord, now residing in heaven. So they, because of that being expansions of Nanda and Jasoda, they had this natural sweetness of Nanda and Jasoda, kind of regard for Krishna. But having spent time in the heavenly realm, that diminished somewhat and became more inclined towards the opulence feature. So now they're praying to resume that sweetness feature. Just let us become the parents of the Supreme Lord, and who cares about the opulence of him? Because that's the highest. And because that's their hankering, just like yours, because of that hankering, Krishna will reciprocate. That's how it ends. Yayatam mam prapadyante. If you have that hankering, that kind of regard for Krishna, he'll reciprocate. Guaranteed, because it's his nature. He'll reciprocate. So what our hankering is very important, because that's what's going to happen, because he's very kind. Continuing, Jiva Goswami, from their prayer, Drona and Dara's prayer to Brahma, from their prayer which expresses giving up all other objects, it is understood that they previously had such bhakti. But though they had it, the prayer is made out of prema with great longing for that prema. Because prema's nature is never satisfied. Get ready. It's a long ride of being never satisfied. It's just the nature of prema. Uh-oh. Maybe you better not want prema. But because if you do. Similarly, Dhruva prays to Kuvera for bhakti. Dhruva praying to Kuvera. Dhruva. We know the Dhruva Maharaj story where Narada and he does austerities and Lord Vishnu comes and he offers prayers to Vishnu and he touches him with his conch shell and all that, and then Vishnu says, you know, I'm going to give you Dhruva Loka to reside in and so forth. And then, you know, he leaves. So he goes back, he becomes, he grows up, he becomes the next king. All this is described, Canto 4. He becomes the king, and some misfortune happened. The misfortune was that his stepbrother was killed while in a hunting expedition in the mountains, in the Himalayas. The Yakshas killed him. So he got in a revenge mood with his armies, and he went to attack the capital city of the Yakshas, and this big battle back and forth and back and forth, and he was destroying the Yakshas left and right. And Kuvera is the head or the leader of the Yakshas. So who is Prahlad's father? Uttanapada. Dhruva, I'm sorry. Dhruva's father is Uttanapada. And Uttanapada's father is Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu came and gave him lots of lessons. And one of the lessons is, you've offended Kuvera. You're slaughtering not just the person who killed your stepbrother, you're slaughtering the whole community here. Stop. And, you know, for these reasons, those reasons. And you need to make amends with Kuvera, because you've made a big offense. And so Dhruva stops. And even before, knowing that Dhruva had stopped, Kuvera came to see him. And Kuvera expressed his pleasure that you're so submissive to Swayambhuva Manu, you just stopped. And then several other things. And I'd like to give you a benediction. Kuvera to Dhruva. So Dhruva says, when thus asked to accept benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, the king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, the most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for thus a person can cross over the ocean of nations very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. So the statement here is similar to what Dhruva asked, Drona and Dara are asking. They're asking for that kind of prema. To pray forgetting, the Lord as their son would be a self on their part. Asking for the Lord as their son would express a desire for a great position. Thus they prayed for prema, since that is the nature of prema. It cannot be otherwise. Paragraph. Krishna spontaneously responds to those who pray in this manner. So keep praying for prema. The verse shows the superiority of their sadhana, this is Drona and Dara, to that of Vasudeva and others who wanted the Lord as their son, since sadhana, practice, and sadhya, the fruit of that practice, should both be pure bhakti. Everyone should pray with the desire only for pure prema to the Lord, not with self-interest caused by envy found in the materialist. By our bhakti of hearing and chanting, all other people, loka, will cross material existence. By this bhakti, others in the world will cross material existence. Though both Dara and Yashoda, those are the female, had pure Vatsalya Bhav, Yashoda's Bhav was superior because of the naturalness of her motherly affection. Pretty nice commentary, huh? And the final one is two paragraphs. It's Sanatana Goswami. The Sikh Goswamis of Vrindavan, you're familiar? Lord Chaitanya, you're familiar? So amongst his many exalted associates, there were six that previously were worldly ministers and government and multi-millionaires and, you know, exalted in material standards and gave it all up and went to live in Vrindavan as mendicants. Under Lord Chaitanya's instructions, they wrote books on bhakti. And the chief amongst them was Sanatana Goswami. So here's his commentary. May we have the highest bhakti when we are born in this world. Previously they had bhakti, but now they wanted intense, pure bhakti with affection for the Lord as their son. We're not there yet. Prayer. One attains the Lord as one's son from pure practice of bhakti focused on that intention. We should have the highest bhakti for he who engages in the highest lila, play, Mahadeva, Krishna. The Lord appears in this world to play as a pastime. He is the Lord of all lords, Vishveshwarai. As the Supreme Lord, he is the avatari, the source of all avatars. He is directly the Lord of the universe, though he appears on earth, Bhuvi. And thus, he has great effulgence, Mahadeva, since he manifests unlimited powers, and thus he attracts the world, Harau. Final paragraph. By this bhakti, all people easily can cross the ocean of samsara, difficult to cross. This is a secondary result indicated by the word easily. A fire Then he explains that. A fire to be used for cooking easily drives away the cold. Or, by bhakti, all people can easily surpass the goal of liberation, which is hard to attain for others. Liberation is hard to surpass because it is glorified profusely by those desiring liberation. This statement discards liberation and glorifies bhakti. By our own bhakti, the power of hearing and chanting, others will be able to cross the ocean of samsara. So liberation is a secondary, and the primary is bhakti itself. And bhakti itself has powers, including those powers are the secondary powers as giving liberation to oneself and giving liberation to others. So they're very elevated, Drona and Dara. They're praying for this regaining, restoring their original natural, spontaneous, affectionate feelings of love for the personal God. It's natural in part because they're expansions of Nanda and Yashoda. That's who they are. And elsewhere we read Nanda and Yashoda, they're expansions of Krishna's own form. They're not living entities. They're not jivas. You can't become Yashoda or Nanda. They're in a different category. And these are expansions of them. And they have that natural affection as Nanda and Yashoda have. And they're most exalted. This concluding the whole of chapter 8 is dealing with Krishna's childhood pastimes, which are especially appreciated by those who have parental affection. And amongst the childhood pastimes, foremost are Nanda and Yashoda, and amongst them foremost is Yashoda. Because that this carries over to the next chapter 9, which is the Damodar Lila. And it's Yashoda all the way. Her very special affection for Krishna, and Krishna's very special affection for her, to the extent that she can bind him with rope. And she doesn't bind him with rope. By rope, she binds him with her affection. That's part of the Lila. Because when he tries to bind her with rope, he can't bind her with rope. It's always 2 inches too short. Then she gets more rope. It's always 2 inches too short. And it's always 2 inches too short. And it's always... So the other gopis, they come and they watch what she's doing. They laugh and they just say, "Don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Just this morning you put a little string around the little bell and it easily went around his waist, and now it's not going around his waist with all this rope, so it's just like, just accept it." And she says 2 things. Why is it always 2 inches? And I'm his mother, and he stole, and I can't let him steal. I have to be mother. If he grows up and I just let him steal, then what's going to happen when he grows up? I have to check this stealing tendency. So she continued to make effort, even though it was 2 inches too short. So then the acharya is described, he withdrew his satya sankalpa shakti and his icha shakti, and he extended instead his kripa shakti. Then she could bind him. Because without mercy... And why did he extend it to her? Because of her love. And that's the strength of her love controls the Supreme Controller. That's the glory of her love. So it's all a continuum from the parental the small child activities and the parents, not just mother, father, but also the elder gopas and the elder gopis and their exchanges, they're all described in the chapter 8. And then it just goes really focused on Nanda Yasoda, and then more focused on Yasoda, most exalted. Srimad Bhagavatam is very nice. We can, by hearing, we can appreciate more about the object. And as we appreciate the object, it makes us more eager. Naturally so. Not like, you know, in a material way, but in a spiritual way. He's so wonderful. And so when that which is so wonderful, one's thoughts go to that thing that's so wonderful. And whatever we're doing, what we're doing, it goes to that so wonderful. So it's, you know, day in and day out. When you're in the kitchen or when you're in the workplace or when you're doing this or when you're doing that, thoughts go to that which is so wonderful and attractive. Bhagavatam is life-changing, is my experience. The world around doesn't change. The way you experience the world around changes. So let's see if there's some discussion. What we've been doing is those who are present can we encourage you to, you know, engage us in some discussion while the people online are sending in their questions. And the longer we talk, the more questions come. You have something?
Yeah. So, Raja, you said as bhakti basically surpasses the liberation and also the feeling, also the goal or objective of going back to God. If you have bhakti, In the current state, basically, that's what we need. That's what I think you mentioned about the prema. But in today's, I mean, for normal working people like us, how do we cultivate that sort of bhakti? I mean,
we're doing it. We're doing it right now. It's by hearing about those who have bhakti. How do you get warm?
Go closer to a fire.
You stand near a fire, you get warm. How do you get bhakti? You associate with those that have bhakti. Sangat? Sanjayate kama. We develop qualities like those with whom we associate, just like your comments. By having a sadhu sangha, it's something happens. Stand near a fire, you get warm. So keep that association going. And then, you know, in your own home, you have now more inspiration for more hearing and chanting, and who knows, going to read the Krishna's pastimes and understanding them deeply. And that's how it happens. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. That's how it happens. And the Shravanam Kirtanam is awakened through sadhu sangha. Bhajana Kriya, devotional activity, is awakened through sadhu sangha. And just stay with it.
Raj, when we are reading Bhagavatam, when we are associating with devotees and doing bhajan kriya, that's fine. But when we go to the normal work, our total consciousness.
But if you carry that consciousness with you into the normal work, your Krishna is part and parcel in the workplace, representing him. It's a different. It doesn't. It's not the same. It's different. But that's, you know, it suits your nature, otherwise you wouldn't be married and have family. It suits your nature. So according to your nature, you engage in service. So you're engaging according to your nature. So now how do you engage according to your nature while remembering Krishna? That's the art of work. Mama Nusmara Yudhyacha. Engaging in a prescribed duty. And always think of me. So how do you always think of Krishna in the workplace? By strong sadhana. He's attending the class over there. Okay. While you're in the workplace, you're Krishna's emissary. You're an instrument of Krishna to profile or model the character and the quality of a devotee. So that you're carrying bhakti inside, you're living the character and quality of a devotee outside, and then there's the people in the workplace. Now at least they can get to see, here's what a Vaishnava looks like. Because you're displaying it, you're exhibiting it.
One small clarification. So, Dashrath Maharaj, Lord and Kaushalya Mata, Lord Rama's parents.
Yeah.
They are not. They are also like a spiritual. Their position is also.
They're eternal associates of Lord Rama and Ayodhya.
And they are different from Prashni.
Yes, they're different. They're their own entities. Okay.
I have a general question.
Sure.
We always say guru is very important in life, but can you have two gurus? And like other thing, like if I have taken some diksha and a mantra, I chanted it for a long time, and if I change it to different mantra, will I keep get some credit of chanting the other mantra as well, or
yeah.
I will have to start over again?
Here's what... No, you don't have to start over again. Here's what scripture says. If mantra is not received... Two things. If mantra is not received in disciplic succession, nishpala, it doesn't bear fruit. Mantra is one thing, but mantra through disciplic succession is another thing. Now, mantra comes from somebody, but then the question is that somebody in an unbroken line of disciplic succession from Krishna? And it's a very important question, because if not, nishpala. And in that case, then one should receive mantra again. This is statement in scripture. So, the fact that you did what you did is to your credit. It's not, it becomes zero all of a sudden. And you continue from there to receive and go further. Now, your wife didn't hear your question, but she probably knows what the question is, because you probably discussed it already many times. Now, you mentioned you received mantra and you've been chanting mantra for some time, mantra diksha. Now, and you mentioned the word disciplic succession. Are you aware, you probably are you aware that from Padma Purana, it mentions there are four standard disciplic successions? From Lakshmi or Sri Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, and the Brahma Sampradaya. Those are four authentic disciplic successions, unbroken through the course of time, that are what through which one must receive transcendental knowledge and mantra. Like Krishna says in chapter 4 Bhagavad Gita, When that line of disciplic succession is broken, knowledge is lost. Evam prampara praptam imam rajarsha yovidu sakali neha mahata yoga nashta. Knowledge is lost. So somewhere there's some teacher and some line of teachings passed on through time. But does that line of teaching from which you have received mantra, is that from one of those four sampradayas? I'm unfamiliar.
I don't know. I don't have an idea. I have to ask my sadhguru.
Okay.
From which sampradaya we belong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay. I've had some, because Lokanath Maharaj is very fond of Vittal and Pandharpur and so forth. I've learned from him that, and also because we visited Pandharpur, I learned something about the line from which Vittal was installed and so forth. But I would personally be interested, and I imagine you would be also personally interested to know, is the line from which you're in which you're situated, is it one of those four? And that makes a big difference if it is or is not. There's no harm if it's not, but it's not the same if it's not. So, anything you'd like to ask from our discussion this evening?
Not from this discussion, but apart from that.
Okay, fine.
I just want to ask, like, how to increase the deep bhakti towards Sadhguru, towards Lord. And other question is, how, whenever some negative thoughts or when my mind becomes upset, doing sadhana, how to overcome that? Sometimes when I go into that negative thoughts, I completely go into the downside of it, and it's very difficult for me to come again to the, like, that happens with me. I don't know. Yeah, it's not just you.
It's, you know,
I'm regularly doing sadhana. I have very nice drishtantas, means nice dreams. I see different saints, some fruits or something very nice in that dreams. But in practically, I feel there should be something I can see in front of me. Otherwise, I can realize something like that. That type of...
Well, the I'll deal with the last part, since you just said it last or most recently. There's a teaching that goes like this. I'll say it in some different ways. My expression is, when you take shelter of Krishna, please understand it's on his terms, not your terms. Or what Lord Chaitanya said in his Shikshastaka prayers, you can do with me whatever you like. You can embrace me, you can neglect me, you can trample me under your feet. You can do with me whatever you like, I am yours. There's only one thing, please keep me engaged in your service. That's another way of saying the same thing, it's on his terms. Or another way of saying the same thing, it's different, but it's, one should not, it's not advised to seek peak experiences and be disappointed if you don't have peak experiences, like directly seeing something, experiencing something. It's up to Krishna to show us. That's no harm to be eager, but it's completely up to Krishna. Don't be frustrated. If, like in the morning class, we were discussing the kidnapping of Nanda Maharaj on the Dwadasi day after Ekadasi. He he was bathing in the Jamuna, getting ready to break the Ekadasi fast on Dwadasi morning. And it was one of those odd Ekadasis where the lunar day was 18 hours different than the solar day, which is 24 hours. The sun hadn't come up. He was getting ready to break the fast. And so the Varuna's agent kidnapped him, took him to Varuna's abode. Krishna followed, and so forth and so on. So that's chapter 26. And then the associates, when Nanda came back and said, this is what I saw. I saw the opulence of Varuna, and then I saw Varuna worshipping my son. Who is he? Maybe he's Narayan. And then they started saying, maybe he'll show us his abode. So they had that desire to see the abode of Narayan. So Krishna smiled and said, I think I'll show them. But they're already qualified. This is the point I wanted to make. They're 100% qualified. But to see something depends upon Krishna's disclosure. He showed his unmanifest pastimes and showed it to them and then withdrew it. And then they forgot everything. So don't hanker for seeing something. Hanker for unmixed devotion. I am yours. Like Prahlad prays to Vishnu. Don't ask me to take a benediction. Then I'm a business person. Vanik. You know, I do and you do and that's our relationship. No. The relationship is only one thing. I'm the servant, you're the master. That's it. So that's bhakti. That's pure bhakti. Whatever you want, that's what I want. You're the master, I'm the servant, that's it. Nothing else between us. Now, it's certainly okay to hanker for some confidential exchange. That's what the residents of Braja, they wanted to see. So he showed. But if he doesn't show, that doesn't mean he's not being kind. He's not. There's no love between them. It's just kripa shakti. We want to be in service. That's all. Now that's a high position, but that's the goal. The goal is not see something or experience something. The goal is so. How to reach that stage, which was the first part of your question, for both the Lord and, you know, the representatives of the Lord. It's the sadhana bhakti leads to anartana vritti, the cleansing of unwanted things, like your husband said before, the stuff inside that's blocking. So the anartana vritti, the eradication of unwanted things in the heart, comes about by assiduous or ardently performed Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing chanting, Bhajana Kriya. With faith in the process, the heart becomes cleansed. And takes some time. Because who can say how long we've been in the material world, how many lifetimes? So we have to be enthusiastic, but we also have to be patient with faith in the bhakti process. So how is the faith in the bhakti process? We read the verse, Ashradadana Purusha Dharmasyasyad. So the faithless persons will not succeed and faithful persons will succeed because we're investing faith in the elevating and cleansing process. While cleansing is going on, the awakening of our dormant consciousness, there's positive and negative. Elimination of the negative, the cleansing. The awakening of our natural consciousness, that's the positive. And that's the hearing and chanting carries you there. It's not just the activity, it's also mercy. So when you try, you realize, I can't do this on my own. I have mercy. So you, with your heart, you call out for mercy, and mercy comes. just like your children, when they call mommy, you know, you're there. Krishna is like that. Very loving. Always. Effort and mercy. Online questions?
Yeah, we have a couple. First one is from Sanagata Kurdas. If Yashoda and Nanda are Nitya Siddhas, and if Drona and Dara are their expansions, how did they become Salaka Siddhas?
It says, by association with the denizens of heaven, they became more attracted to the Aishwarya feature.
Next question is from Prakash Narayan Govindan. He asks, a question on mantra upasana.
Oh boy, okay.
I find memorizing Sanskrit mantras very difficult, almost impossible, despite trying so many times. Sorry. I might be born as an animal in the next life because anything is possible. I want to use mantra upasana, as you said. It'll help me in that situation. Should I try to learn the basics of Sanskrit so that I can learn Brahma Samhita and other upasana mantras?
No, you don't need to learn Sanskrit. You just recite, using Prabhupada's phrase, entering into the spirit of the hymn. So if you recite, I know persons that daily, one of the things they do daily is they recite Brahma Samhita, and it just grows. You become, it's like the back of your hand. You don't have to think about it. It's just the back of your hand is there. So the mantra, the Brahma Samhita mantras are there, and then you start becoming more familiar with the meanings of the words, and you enter into the mood of the meaning of the words, and it becomes your heart. And then it's not just memorization, it's your heart. That's how. Regular. And you do something regular, it becomes second nature.
We have two questions from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. First one, if a desire to give a book by a devotee is greater than the desire to reject it by an individual, the book will be accepted. Is that correct?
Well, there's other factors. Depends on whether it's raining or not. I mean, you know, it depends on what's... There's other factors involved, not just those two.
Second question. Narada Muni is extremely merciful to visit even the lowest of the lowest. Is it possible to get a visit from him by his unconditional mercy?
Well, if you're the lowest of the lowest, I guess it's possible. If he were to come, would you be able to perceive him? There's a number of cases where Prabhupada spoke after a program saying, did you see Narada came? No one saw. But he is verifying what he saw. So there's other factors besides what was mentioned. You have to have the eyes to see, even if you get some mercy. When Mother Jasoda saw inside Krishna's mouth, she had the eyes to see in addition to what was in his mouth. And otherwise, without the eyes to see, she would not be able to see. Just like Duryodhana, he saw a partial manifestation of the universal form in the royal assembly. But, you know, what did he see? Who knows what he saw? He just thought, oh, he's a mystic, he's got some powers, but so what? So he didn't see what others were able to see, because of his attitude. So there's different factors besides the ones just mentioned. That's it. Okay. Concluding anything? Good? Good. Srila Prabhupada ki? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki?